broccoli is not in season in Ohio, it is no problem because your event can have broccoli from California or from Central America or from wherever else. Broccoli may grow. The temperature may be 20 degrees below zero and there are 3 feet of snow on the ground, but you can keep the venue warm and plow the parking lot and still have broccoli.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Everyone is familiar with the phrase, "You'd think so, wouldn't you?" The context of that phrase is always the same. We always understand it perfectly. Given certain inputs, you should expect certain outcomes to materialize. But they don't always. If you work hard, you will prosper. You'd think so, wouldn't you? But I have known a lot of people who work pretty hard and prosperity somehow proves elusive. If you're nice to people, they'll be nice to you. You'd think so, wouldn't you? But it doesn't always work out that way. Keep your nose clean and you will stay out of trouble. Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? How many headlines were there last year about people who spent decades in prison and then were proven innocent and released? We'd like it if the innocent were never troubled. But often enough, more than often enough, they are. This Sunday, and then the first Sunday in September following Youth Sunday, and I will have finished with the sermon series that I set out to preach this spring and summer from the Gospel according to Luke. We left it last time with Jesus in attendance at a Sabbath dinner in the home of a chief Pharisee. And he had just given some teaching about seeking the high seat. Those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And about the difference between courting people who can do things for you and serving God out of a pure heart. Don't invite your rich neighbors to your banquet. Invite the poor, lame, and crippled instead. He had just finished this teaching, and having heard it and grasping perhaps for the first time the true nature of the kingdom of God, one Pharisee present remarked, "Blessed is any man who gets to eat bread in a kingdom like that." Now, blessed and happy are, in the parlance of the New Testament, the very same word. Happy is any man. Any man would be happy if he could get into a kingdom like that. Why, godly people ought to be willing to stand in line to get into a kingdom such as is revealed in the teaching of Jesus. This is the heart of the Pharisee's response. And Jesus comes back with a response that basically amounts to, "Well, you would think so, wouldn't you? But see, there was this guy who gave a big dinner." As the Apostle Matthew recalls the same parable, the guy was the king, and the big dinner was a celebration of the king's son's marriage. But there was this guy who gave this big dinner, swank affair, no expense spared, social event of the year. And here we have to understand a major difference between social planning in the first and 21st centuries. We have a big event, and when we have that big event, we can post the starting time well in advance so that everybody knows it's on this day and it starts at 6 o'clock. You can count on that. That's because we have refrigeration and delivery trucks and climate-controlled venues. If broccoli is not in season in Ohio, it is no problem because your event can have broccoli from California or from Central America or from wherever else. Broccoli may grow. The temperature may be 20 degrees below zero and there are 3 feet of snow on the ground, but you can keep the venue warm and plow the parking lot and still have broccoli if you want to. If you have an event in Alaska, you can serve citrus fruit where no orange has ever grown. If you have an event in Omaha, you can serve seafood. And Omaha is known for steak instead of shrimp for good reasons. A vast network of enterprise and mechanical marvels churns away to ensure that you can have fresh cheese and solid frozen ice cream any time you want it. Didn't used to be that. Say you wanted grapes for your event in the first century. There were only fresh grapes and there were only local fresh grapes and they were only there for a short while. Big events in the first century were organized around the harvest times, around the weather, around the maturation of select livestock and so forth in a way that we do not understand. And so the general date was set in advance and then when everything was ready, the call went out. We're ready. Come on over. Or in familiar biblical language, all things are ready. Come to the feast. Now, in addition to that, one more note. Weddings and the idea of a wedding feast is explicit in Matthew and probably still lurks in the background of Luke's account. Weddings had still another twist. The general time was set and finally everything got ready and mature and worked out and they would call and they would say, this is the day. But on that day of the wedding, when all else was ready, the groom might set forth with his party of attendants at morning, noon, or midnight. No one knew. But whenever the groom and his party set forth, everyone had to drop what they were doing, including the bride. The bride had to drop what she was doing and come to the wedding because suddenly the groom was ready. There was some consideration shown. The middle of barley or wheat harvest would be avoided and so forth. But everyone had to wait until the groom was good and ready, even on the day when all other things were ready. Modern brides would not favor such an arrangement. But I tell you all this so that you can understand the picture that Jesus draws, because surprise, the circumstances upon which he drew best illustrate the point he meant to make. The feast has been generally announced, and now everything has ripened. The weather is right. The select livestock is at peak maturity. The preparations have all come together, and the servant is sent out to announce to people who had received the general invitation in advance, the hour has arrived. All things are ready. Come to the feast. And everybody dropped what they were doing and ran to the feast. Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? I tell you, although our social structure has changed with our technology, people have not really changed at all. Because even now, when we can set the exact date and hour of the big event, however far in advance suits us, and you can not only mark it on your calendar, but you can carry a little electronic device on your belt, in your pocket, on your purse, which will beep at you and give you a printed or even spoken reminder of the event, however many times you set it to remind you. Even now, people will still get busy with stuff at the last minute so that even though they had set the date aside well in advance, when it comes, they will be caught up in this or that, and they will send their regrets, maybe, and not come to the feast. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Well, you know, I just bought this property and I really need to carry out a good survey. All things are ready. Come to the feast. I thought I would, but I just got a great deal on a new tractor, John Deere. And I got to make sure everything works right. All things are ready. Come to the feast. I just got married myself. Right now, I think it's more important that I keep the home fires burning. So the report comes back to the host. And the host says to his servant, I tell you what, let's you and me fix up a big bunch of to-go boxes. And you take them out and you deliver them to all those people for whom I have gone to so much trouble, but who are so busy with their daily affairs that they can't come. You take it out to them so that they can mind their private affairs and enjoy the feast that I went to all this trouble to prepare. Turns out, the host was a little less understanding and accommodating than that. In fact, the host was just plain cranky. Well, then go out to the places in town where the poor are known to beg and invite them. I bet they'll come. And this was done. And the servant reports back, the crippled, blind, and lame are all here and there are still seats left. Remember, he had invited many. It was a big feast. Well, then go out to the rural hedges where the homeless and the migrant laborers seek shelter toward evening, and invite them to come to the feast. And just in case I'm not making myself clear, do not go back to any of those people I invited first who found so many other things to do, because those guys are not going to get so much as a crumb from my table. Talk about holding a grudge. But anyone who has ever organized a big event will sympathize at least partly. And we need to understand what big event Jesus was talking about. This lone Pharisee heard Jesus teaching about the kingdom and said, people should be tripping all over themselves to get into a kingdom like that. And Jesus said, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Fact is, God went to a lot of trouble to open up the kingdom to men who had, by their own sin, excluded themselves. And God announced the general time and the nature of the preparations well in advance. The very first prophecy of the whole thing shows up in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And by chapter 12 in the covenant that God instituted with Abraham, he makes it all much more clear and easy to envision. He virtually drew a picture for us in the covenant that he made with Moses in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Further reminders popped up through the covenant with David and through this prophet and that prophet through the century. And as the hour drew near, angels and stars and dreams and visions and strange travelers and what have you, all this to tell men that though they had forfeited their seat in the kingdom of God by virtue of their sin, God had devised a way of dealing with it so the gates could be opened and everybody could come to the feast and renew their fellowship with God. And the feast is coming. It's coming. It's getting close. Shine your shoes. Press your suit. It's just around the corner. Wait, it's time. I have sent my only begotten Son to make things right. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Oh, stand back lest you get trampled in the stampede, because the mad rush to get back into the kingdom of God ought to commence just about. So, wouldn't you? People ought to have made a mad dash. And yet, as Jesus himself pointed out elsewhere, straight is the way, narrow the gate, and few those who find it. The first invitations were, so to speak, to the Jewish religious leadership. This was the chosen nation through whom God had worked out all those covenantal arrangements that I mentioned, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees were in the best possible position to understand the import of everything that God had done and most clearly interpret all the prophecies that he had made. And now the hour has come. The proclamation has been sent out. All things are ready. Come to the feast. And those to whom the invitation went first largely declined to attend. Can you believe it? The nerve, the gall, the unmitigated audacity. Speaking of that electric device, no wonder God filled those empty seats with others. A blight on your new field buddy, a pox on your freshly purchased oxen, and I hope that marriage really works out good for you because it is the thing in favor of which you have just turned up your nose at the long announced, anxiously awaited kingdom of God. Just so. But I want you to know that we have even less excuse than the Sadducees and Pharisees of the first century. They had only the Old Testament, which was plenty plain enough. They should have got it based on that. But after this parable, after this scathing judgment on the religious leaders of the time who should have known better, completely after all that, came the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the writing of the New Testament. And now we know in graphic detail everything God did to deal with our sin and reopen the doors to the kingdom so that we could come in and have fellowship with Him. We should be beating down the doors. You would think so, wouldn't you? Well, we plan on it someday when we're a little less busy. Really? All things are ready. When are they ready? Ready now. All things are ready. Come to the feast.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.